President Bush's principal partner in the Iraq War has been Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair, who steered his country into the war despite considerable opposition. Mr. Blair stood fast with the United States, citing the need to honor the special relationship between the two countries. In a provocative profile in the current Atlantic Monthly, Jeffrey Wheatcroft writes of the tragedy of Tony Blair, calling him the closest thing to John Kennedy we have ever had, and saying that the Iraq War has destroyed that promise. Jeffrey Wheatcroft joins us from the BBC studios in Bath in England. Welcome, Mr. Wheatcroft.
Good evening.
You say in this piece that Prime Minister Blair was perhaps the only person in the world who might have prevented the war in Iraq. Could you explain that?
Well, there may have been a slight element of rhetorical exaggeration when I said that, but it is certainly true that although the Bush administration didn't need British military support as such, even the Bush administration needed some diplomatic support. And Blair was in this very curious position where he knew perfectly well that there's never been a time when most British people supported this war, except for a flicker. And there was, I suspect, scarcely a majority in his own cabinet who wanted the war. So it was Blair's personal conviction that the British troops must be committed that made it much easier for the Americans to go ahead with the war. I mean, I don't think he could have stopped it precisely by saying, I refuse to take part, but it would have made things much more difficult, I think, for President Bush.
From the beginning, the Prime Minister has had to deal with critics who feel that this has been basically a one-way operation, that Britain has been very helpful to the United States and to President Bush, but that nothing has come the other way and that the U.S. president has not been helpful to Mr. Blair. Do you think that's right?
It's extraordinary. I mean, after I'd finished my piece in The Atlantic, there was a dramatic illustration of that last month when Tony Blair followed to Washington in the footsteps of Ariel Sharon. Sharon and Bush, for reasons of their own, separately, cut this deal, as we all remember, about withdrawal from Gaza on the Israeli part, and yet American recognition of Israeli settlements in the West Bank. Leaving aside the rights and wrongs, this was a total repudiation of everything the British government has stood for in that particular conflict. And then Tony Blair arrived in Washington and said he didn't want in any way to condemn the agreement between Bush and Sharon, and he saw possibilities for progress in it. Well, this was completely absurd, honestly. Even, for example, Philip Stevens of the Financial Times in London, who I cite because he's been one of the commentators most sympathetic to Mr. Blair, even he said that Blair's moment in Washington in April 2004 was a moment of total humiliation for him.
There is an article in today's London Sunday Times, which I'm sure you've seen, about the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Gordon Brown, who is Mr. Blair's longtime ally in the Labour Party and supposedly his heir for the leadership of the party. The Times says that Mr. Brown is already privately gathering a cabinet around him and in anticipation of Mr. Blair stepping down as leader of the Labour Party, presumably resigning as Prime Minister. Are reports of Mr. Blair's impending demise premature, to your way of thinking?
Well, of course Gordon Brown has been waiting with his tongue hanging out to succeed Mr. Blair for a long time past. What has now happened is that Blair's moment has gone. For the first time in the last few months, even the last few weeks, all the polls have suggested that Tony Blair, who was once the great asset to his party, is now an active liability. And there has been a great deal of speculation going beyond the normal chatter and gossip of political life that Blair will go soon. The rumour I've heard all week is that Blair will in fact hand over to Gordon Brown within a matter of months, and there will be a snap general election in the autumn or the fall.
But you also say in your article that he has been remarkably nimble in the past. Do you think he can save himself at this point? If Iraq is the major issue, is there anything to be done by the Prime Minister?
He's been very adroit in the past. I think I used the word nimble in relation to the way he transferred his affections from Bill Clinton to George Bush. If he can get out of the present imbroglio in Iraq, he is going to be an even more adroit and nimble operator than most of us had ever supposed, because events there, I'm again trying to be as objective as possible, events there are clearly beyond his control at the moment.
Jeffrey Wheatcroft spoke with us from the BBC studios in Bath, England. His article appears in the current issue of the Atlantic Monthly. Mr. Wheatcroft, thank you very much.
Well, goodbye and thank you.